Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
I am Velocity Child, and every Friday at the stroke of midnight, ride the broomstick with Fallen Woman. A weekly psychic fusion of forward thoughts, far-out ideas, magical foray, and spellbinding song. Stirring up the cauldron at Radio Free Brooklyn. Velocity Child here, and I am on Fallen Woman at Radio Free Brooklyn, and the thoughts and opinions of Fallen Woman do not necessarily reflect the thoughts and opinions of our fine people at Radio Free Brooklyn. But we're so glad that they are here and providing a space for censorship-free independent radio. So please go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge, and you can pledge as little as $1 a month. Now, on to my crazy show. My guest here today, tonight, is Boobess.
That's me. That's one of my names.
Yes, that's one of her names. That is her nightlife identity. Excuse me, moving microphone. We're okay. So I know Boobess through burlesque. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that totally rhymed.
When I started doing burlesque, the first show I ever did that I had to like pick a stage name for was... Mm-hmm. Kitty Nights at Bar on A.
Oh, Femme Appeal show.
Femme booked me.
Yeah.
And I knew I was going to be Boobess the Baroness or Baroness Boobess. And I
could see that.
I couldn't decide between the two. And so I asked
Femme. I would go with Baroness Boobess. But what did Femme say?
She said Boobess the Baroness. So that's
she's got a sense of, I'm all dead serious. She's very comedic, so.
So
that's a comedian's name.
Yeah, well, I thought I wanted to be Boobess Magoo because I thought really funny. And someone was like, if you do that, you only can do funny. And I was like, well,
that's true.
I don't want to limit myself.
Yeah, that's very
so
true.
I was Boobess the Baroness for like 2 years, and then I stopped using the Baroness because it's so much of a mouthful.
The Baroness.
Boobess the Baroness.
Yeah, and I gotta be honest, as a former producer of burlesque, I still produce it once in a while, but when I did Badass for 13 years straight, I had to make a lot of flyers.
Yeah, that's too many words.
The long names suck.
Yeah, Boobess is
easier. As a promoter,
you
hate working with them.
My favorite is that everyone just calls me Boo, so I feel like I'm everyone's, like, girlfriend.
Like, I worship world famous Bob.
Bob.
And yeah. I thought that was a long name until Darlinda, just Darlinda, came around. Yeah. And then that would take up the entire
Velocity Child's not exactly the shortest name ever.
It's not, so.
There's a lot of letters in there.
That's true. Lots of, it's a double D and all that.
There's Y's and L's and H's.
Well, and now I'm having, I had that name legally changed because I like to have one name to go by. Also, it forces authority to acknowledge who you are. I like to be at a doctor's office and have them come out and go, the Velocity? Like, it's really fun. It makes the doctor's appointment a little more pleasurable.
Sure.
But I never had a legal middle name added, so I'm doing that now. I'm having it legally changed to Velocity Starchild. And stars with two R's, like Ringo.
Of course it is.
Because I've got two D's for child. So yeah, Velocity Star
That's
Child.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's really fucking long.
That's a beautiful name.
But when you're a professional witch, having a really fucking long name
Velocity
is actually a good thing.
Star Child is a good choice.
Thank you. Yeah. Cheers, by the way.
Cheers. Thanks.
Yeah. So, and we were just talking a bit about identities, and you are
duality.
Onto some really cool, creative, expressive stuff involving nightlife identity in general. What were you tell us about that?
Well, I mean, it came from a very personal place because I'm Boobess in the burlesque world, but I'm Anna Bridgeforth by birth, and burlesque
Bridgeforth.
Scottish.
Okay.
But it turns out I'm not super Scottish. My brother got his DNA
tested. You are a
tested.
Redhead, right?
Well,
it's okay. Dark blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother got his DNA tested, and we're way more French than we are Scottish. But
oh.
I don't know. It's a Scottish name. But Southern, East Coast,
oh, okay.
North Carolina, Virginia, heritage. I'm an actor, and I started doing burlesque because there's so much more... there was so much more freedom to
creative
it as a
freedom.
Performer.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, total autonomy over this
it's
art
like
form.
It's performance art,
it
basically.
It was addictive. And then when I realized that if I was good at it, I could, like, kind of get paid to do it. Like,
yeah.
That was really cool. And then I met all these people who have these fascinating double lives because they either have a whole career outside of burlesque, like Tigger, who's a librarian or whatever, or people who have, like, super normal 9-to-5 jobs where they're in a cubicle all day, or people who are full-time performers or like literally
sex
the list
workers.
Sex workers, the list goes on and on forever.
Oh yeah.
And I was
mental health field, I know quite a few.
Absolutely. Or health field.
Mm-hmm.
Healing nurses, arts. Healing arts.
Yep.
Yeah. All sorts of, you know, hairdressers and makeup artists and
witchcraft.
I mean, it was amazing.
I can't remember everybody's real name. I gave up. I finally decided
what's
it was
the
much
point?
Easier
you don't have to know
me.
Two names for everybody.
Yeah, it was much easier for me to address them by their stage name. I feel like that's where their heart's coming
sure.
from anyway.
And you call somebody the name that you learned when you were introduced to them, which is usually
right.
their stage name.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I decided to make a show about it.
Did you have to hide at all, Boobess? Was she...
Yeah, I mean...
Was she in the closet for a little bit?
She had to be, sure. And then I did eventually tell my parents, and they don't hate it. And I've been doing it for
probably
nearly...
Probably confused them at first a little bit, though.
My mom was very much just like, you know, I think it's... Why do you have to be naked? Can't you just do a play? And I was like, well,
you know, let's break it down, though. It's an interesting question, but I guess for us it's an obvious answer. But I think there aren't that many outlets out there for a stage performer or theatrical performer to walk into where they have complete and total creative freedom. And you're not going to just, there's no shows out there that are just like, hey, come watch this guy just do this weird shit on stage. No, you're not going to get a show with like 17 performers doing just weird shit on stage with all their clothes on. So the taking the clothes off part's just part of the deal.
Yeah,
I think of
I
it
mean,
as erotic performance
it
art.
It is, and it's a lowbrow art form.
It doesn't even have to be erotic. You can go out there and be naked and ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't have to be sexy. It,
yeah.
Like, it really can quickly desexualize the human body. Right?
Cause that's what I do with my butcher knife.
And I love the way that it shakes people up. But it's stigmatized. You know that. It's taboo.
It is. Well, I feel like Mallory Knox in Natural Born Killers when she goes, how sexy am I now? Like, that's the moment when the knife comes out. That's why I do it. So I'm... Like you said, desexualize. Deliberately desexualize.
Yeah, because it gives women an opportunity to take some power back.
Yeah.
And that's political.
And if I have to get naked to make my political statement,
why
so be
not?
It.
I'm not afraid of nudity.
No.
I never
I like
have
it.
Been.
And
my
I'm glad you're
was...
not, because your body is beautiful.
Oh.
All bodies
sweet.
Are beautiful. I'm not... But I covet your, look at your body, like, God damn. There's a coveting moment I have when I see your body.
My mother gave it to me.
It's
genetic.
Damn. Yeah. Blessed.
Yeah, honestly, the more weight I put on, the better I look, because my waist stays small and my hips and thighs get bigger.
Yeah, and your boobs, too. You don't really gain anything in the middle.
I don't.
Mm-mm.
blessed. Hashtag blessed, I guess.
Well, I did not know you gained weight. It seemed like very fit to me.
I do, and then I lose it, and then I fluctuate a lot. I probably swim in a 20-pound gap all the time, depending on how disciplined I'm being about consuming sugar or...
Well, we're in that trade where you've got to, consider the character you chose to portray on stage and you got to sort of...
Well, the character I play on stage is really just another version of me, which sort of is that whole duality thing. I mean, you can't, even when you're playing a character as an actor, you are always playing it through the lens of the true person that lives inside the meat suit that you're wearing,
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
You only have that own human, personal, unique perspective. So that's where we perform from.
And when you're an actor, you don't... It's not all Tennessee Williams, you don't get to do a great thing all the time. Sometimes it's a pizza commercial and you don't want to play that part.
And you got to be as charming as a pizza guy as yeah. you can be, Here I go. This is how I would do this. And it's going to be unique and beautiful. I don't know. I'm in a really sort of happy, positive place in my life, thinking about this kind of stuff. Uh-huh. But I created a trailer to create a TV show that
very
addresses
exciting.
This duality.
And it's not a docu.
Well, no. I made a... The trailer kind of left it open about what it is.
Uh-huh.
And it started to be a docu, and then I didn't want it to be a docu. So I see it as...
And why didn't you want it to be a docu?
I felt like I couldn't really tell the truth of the idea of the place of the real people who are inspiring the story
right
in a documentary format, because
people would censor themselves.
People would censor themselves, and not everybody wants to be on a documentary TV
right.
series, or would be willing to get in front of a camera, or would be willing to reveal truths that are secret from their families or their jobs.
Right. Definitely.
But I could write a fictional character that's had that experience without outing anybody, and then you could still get to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Of these people's lives, which I find so fascinating. And it's so subversive, the arts always are, but particularly these underground performance arts that touch people in small groups at a time.
Yes.
That can create such powerful political current. Fascinating.
It makes you think of Capote's approach to writing.
What's that?
Well, when he wrote the book on In Cold Blood,
mm-hmm.
how it wasn't strictly, it was semi-fiction. It wasn't strictly a reporting,
right,
journalistic style of writing.
Mm-hmm.
So similar to what you're saying.
Yeah, I also...
It's not strictly documentary. It's going to be some...
It's inspired by...
But he did it for the same reasons, because he wanted to really
exposed.
Tell the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's inspired by true life. And I also don't know anything about writing, but I realized that the only way that it was going to get made as I saw it becoming real was if I wrote it myself, so.
I'm not a big believer in technique. I'm a big believer in raw guts and
mm-hmm.
passion and honesty.
Impulse.
Instinct.
Instinct, yeah.
And I feel like you can't teach some of that. And if that fire is already in you, dude.
It's burning.
You're set. You're just going to write it. And you could, you're going to go through and re-edit and re-edit and re-edit. And that's I think where all the things you could learn in college would be applied on some level. But
I dropped out of college.
Oh, well, yeah, but I'm saying you don't need that necessarily. You could get people to help you with that.
Did you go to ADA?
Oh, American Academy of Dramatic Arts.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
I went to AMDA for a minute.
Oh.
Which is the musical.
The musical theater version.
Yeah.
Yes. I think are they run by the same people?
Yeah.
That makes sense. They like their initials. I went to the Pasadena one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. I went there when I was 19.
I moved to New York when I was 19. By myself.
Yeah, I moved to Pasadena. It was like that moment where you move out of your parents' house. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Very brave to move here by yourself.
Well, I came to go to AMDA, and then I only lasted a month there, and I dropped out. But I had an apartment, and I was like, well, I guess I'm just going to get a job. So I've had...
What was your first job here?
Well, it was nannying for a family friend that I'd known since I was very small. And the thing is, I ended up being a nanny for that family for, I mean, still now, for 14 years, I've been taking care of the same kids. So they feel like my kids.
Sounds cute, but I think nannying is terrifying.
Only one
much responsibility. Mm-hmm. It's so
it's
terrifying.
Intense. I only one family, and they're like family to me. So it was, I have a strong maternal instinct.
Yeah.
So I raised these kids.
So like a natural au pair.
Yeah, kind of. Like practically family. I'm actually going.
You are an au pair if they're practically family.
Yeah.
That's
for
like
sure.
A step above.
Sure. I just didn't ever live in with them.
Right.
Definitely.
Is that why? Was it McPhee that you said before as a name?
My name?
A potential stage name. When somebody was McPhee
or
something?
I said I wanted to be Boobass Magoo.
Oh, I heard it says McPhee. I thought, did she get it from Nanny McPhee? Oh, never mind. Okay.
No.
Boobass Magoo.
I just, because of the glasses.
Oh, okay. I love your glasses.
Thanks.
They're nice.
I'm blind without them.
Me too.
I changed them a lot.
Yeah.
The frames.
Oh, yeah. I've got like four.
Yeah.
I get bored.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I was a nanny, and I was a barista at a coffee shop, and then I was a hostess at a restaurant on the Upper West Side, and then I worked in catering for years. I was a temp in offices, like...
These are all good girl jobs. I would never accept... I was never cut out for these jobs. You listed all these things, and I was like... Yeah,
okay,
but never
so
even
I could
think of applying.
To be fair, once I sort of crossed over into burlesque, and I was doing more and more burlesque and weighing much less like auditioning for indie theater, I did work as a dom once a couple times with a friend.
Well, I'm finding the irony because I know you through burlesque, so
I know.
You know when in burlesque is clean. Folks, no one in burlesque is 100% good girl. That's
right.
For sure.
That's for sure.
So yeah, no, that's why I just found the. I was finding the irony. Oh, nay, the duality.
Yes.
Yes.
The
see?
Dichotomy
we're back to
of
cheers.
It all.
We're, see.
Perfect.
Finding the duality there. Yeah, it was just sort of like wow, just one clean job after the other.
Well, that's what gave me the idea. Honestly, for the whole project was I was working as a nanny.
Yeah,
and I was
you can't get
picking the kids
Mary
up
Poppins.
From the school and bring them home and cooking them dinner and putting them, rocking the baby to sleep and feeding her with a bottle or whatever. And then grabbing my gig bag and walking across town and being like a crazy, dirty stripper at the slipper room.
I would watch that show.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm making it.
It's good because I would totally watch that. You can imagine all the different scenarios you can... throw into that mix.
Well, because they used to be like the littlest, or the boy who's not little anymore. He's like a teenager, but he would be like, "What's in your bag? Like, are you doing a show tonight? Are you doing a play?" Like, I would be like, "Yeah, I'm doing like a grown up play. Like, only like grown ups can go." I let him watch me put my makeup on once with the big eyelashes, and he was just
boy.
Like, and so he'd always
he's
be like, "Can I look in your
the
bag?"
Glamour
like, no,
girls now.
Yeah. Maybe. I might have influenced him
oh,
a little
I'm
bit.
Oh, sure. Come on.
If he likes
meditating
girls.
Meditating on you, putting makeup. Well, yeah.
If he likes
that,
girls.
There, and he might have been meditating on the makeup for a whole other reason.
I never
yes.
know. I mean, we will know eventually.
Well, hopefully. It's terrible if they hold it in. It's not good for you. It gives you cancer and things.
Holding anything in.
Yes. big life things. Yeah, I can't.
I mean, don't you know people that have, like, fascinating double lives that they lead?
Well, there was a time where I was a hairdresser and then I was a tarot reader. But to be honest, me, myself, and I, I've always been like open book.
Right. One person.
Yes. And a lot
totally united.
Yes. And I have a lot of friends that, even though sometimes I feel like I have multiple personality disorder, but that's another story. I have a lot of friends that have that double life. And I always have to be so careful not to tag them or not to... they always have to remind me usually because I'm like one of the first people to be like, oh shit, yeah, I forgot. This is forbidden. Because it just seems like normal, natural life, nightlife to me seems so innate.
And do you think that it's crosses true. Over into muggle life somewhat? Like there's... You know, Hasidic Jews that have sexual relationships with us is what I'm talking about.
In the dungeon that...
Yes, they're Hasidic. Very into the kinky...
Yes, they are.
For money
and
stuff.
And Catholics, too.
All the repressed sexual groups.
Oh, yeah.
They lead double lives, right? Can't leave marks my wife can't see.
Oh, my God, yeah. Don't get pee up my nose. Sorry. You know, the usual.
That's the usual.
Yeah.
Don't light my asshole hair on fire this time.
Yes. It shall notice the smell. The burning smell.
Yeah, it goes... It's an endless well of material.
There was a time where I had my fist in someone's ass. Mm-hmm. And they were tied down to a big bondage.
You have small
bed.
Hands.
Marilyn Manson blasting in the background, and I thought to myself, huh, I bet right now at this very moment there's a doctor out there in an emergency ward doing the exact same thing that I'm doing, but it's totes okay.
He's just getting paid a lot more than
probably. Yeah, because all the respect and stuff.
Or he's pulling out a G.I. Joe.
Yeah, no, and I'm just pulling out like a dirty elbow-length glove, you know. Yeah. Oh my God. So visceral.
That's hot.
So I can appreciate the duality, even though I haven't always lived dual, but I can totally appreciate that.
You live amongst it.
Yeah, definitely.
You've witnessed it.
Yeah.
And it can be it can be extreme, and it can be subtle.
Right.
But we all sort of, I don't know, I'm trying to picture you having to put on a different character for any other reason. Like,
I'm really bad. It's a bad look. I've tried it.
Like, what if you had to go to...
I remember being just in sixth grade and desperately, sixth and seventh grade, those were the only 2 years. I got out of Montessori school, beginning of sixth grade, and was thrust into my local public school, and it was brutal, and I suddenly didn't fit in at all, and everyone thought I was a freak and hated me. And so for 2 years, people would spit. It was very welcome to the dollhouse. Spitting on me, all kinds of things, you name
Jesus.
It. And I don't know, I just like got really fed up about midway, about eighth grade. Saw a Cyndi Lauper video, girl just want to have fun, late at night on the TV, and was like, I'm going to do that to my hair, and everyone can go fuck themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I went and turned into that, and I kind of learned pretty early on that I'm not good at fitting in.
Did it change
the way you were
perceived?
I'm better at just letting it all hang out. Oh, yeah. People stopped picking on me almost immediately.
And then they were interested.
Scared. At first, because these were the same, like, I did one of those overnight change things. It was very radical, watershed-y, and everyone freaked out, and was like, what the fuck, oh my God, and then just, like, sort of, only a few assholes would shout something across the quad or some crap like that, but for the most part, most people steer clear of me after that.
For a long time?
Yeah. And then I lost my virginity at 16 and became like Super Kelly Bundy, but punk rock gothic version. And then the football players were trying to get me to like have sex with them behind the school.
Mm-hmm.
But don't tell anyone because you're that weird girl.
Right.
But you're really, we want to fuck you.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, huh. All right, I'm getting the picture now.
Yeah, I was not a sexual object at all.
Oh, wow.
But until I lost my virginity.
You're so pretty. That's almost impossible to imagine.
I was not in it at all. Middle, all through high school, never got asked to a school dance. Like, not the interest of anybody. I think they smelled the freak on me, and instead of living in it, I tried desperately to conform. So I like just became
I did that in the beginning to
a tiny mousy version of myself.
Oh.
All the way through high school.
It
wasn't until I moved to New York,
oh,
lost my virginity, like to a bisexual man who was 13 years older than me.
Well, that'll open
that
your
I
eyes.
Stayed with for 6 years.
Dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I just like head first into the pool. And then I blossomed. But yeah, middle and high school, I was way more concerned with how other people perceived me and fitting in than in living my truth.
West Hollywood drag queen saved me when I was 15.
I had
a gay BFF and he was dragging me off to these gay clubs in West Hollywood. And just, he told me, like, just put on, like, a corset with your tits hanging out, and they won't check your ID. You'll get in just fine.
Yeah,
and I did.
True.
And then I just walked into this whole world where, like, sex and glamour and, I don't know, somehow I was acceptable in that department now, hanging out with the queens
the
in
queer
West
people.
Hollywood. Oh, yeah, they made me feel very loved. I felt like, oh, this is my tribe.
My tribe, my people.
Yeah, that
I
was very instrumental for me. And if I had not had that acting class on the weekend where I met that guy in Long Beach who became my gay BFF, who dragged me off to Hollywood when my parents weren't paying attention, none of this probably wouldn't be here today.
It might have. It might have. It might have been come about differently. But
Maybe more aggressive.
I don't know. Yeah,
so I'm amazed to hear that. So you came out of your shell in your mid-20s or early 20s?
No, it was like right when I moved to New York, which was when I was 18, 19.
Oh.
But I had graduated from high school.
So talk about diving straight down in there. Mm-hmm. Like no roommate, no spouse, no...
I had a roommate. I lived
parents.
With like a second cousin that lived in the city, and we lived up in Harlem. And I had my boyfriend.
What year was this?
2004.
Okay. Yeah, Harlem was still more like Harlem's Harlem back then.
Mm-hmm. I stuck out.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Snow White was my nickname on the block.
I bet.
Yeah.
A friend of mine used to do my braids when I went up there, and I stuck out like a sore thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I moved up to Washington Heights for a long time.
I bet your hair bleaches out really white.
Yeah. It was so damaging, though. I couldn't do it for too many years.
I keep so short.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If I wanted to have hair, I needed to, like, be a little more subtle about it.
Yeah. If you wanted to have hair that wasn't...
breaking.
Know, hyper like, fly away.
Like, literally like, breaking off at the roots. Yeah.
Super sad... broken hair.
Yeah. Fried. No. Frizzled. Can't. Yeah.
No.
So, yeah. I dove in deep. After high school, I went to the University of Georgia for one semester. And I really hated it there. Aww. Really didn't fit in there. I joined a sorority. Because it was the only way to meet people.
Because it's that kind of town. You have to do that.
Well,
yeah.
Everyone else is from Georgia, and I wasn't.
If
so I didn't
college,
know anyone.
I would have been eaten alive.
I only lasted a semester. I was like, get me out of here.
Wow. Because that's like, to me, I always thought of college was just like, oh, yeah, let me go to high school again for 4 more years.
That's
what I need.
I still sometimes, but rarely, have anxiety dreams about school.
Oh my God, no.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, by the time I finished, like, you're almost done with high school, but you've got this, like, one last thing you have to do. I was so ready to be done with school when I went to university, especially in the wrong place that was the University of Georgia for me.
Yeah, it's very conservative.
I mean, I thought I wanted, like, the classic big university experience, and I was wrong.
Well, they really sell it to you, you know, when you're in high school. Like, I remember when I made the decision not to go to college, they looked at me like I was insane. Like, you're what? Not going to what?
Yeah.
And I wondered sometime, like, did I miss out on something? But now, like, all these rape documentaries are coming out about college and stuff, and I'm thinking, hey, maybe it wasn't so bad.
Well, I'm mostly grateful that I've spent my entire life without any student debt.
Oh, my God.
Any student loans, and so many
of
my...
How did you avoid...
I didn't go.
You didn't complete it.
I went to one semester at the university. My parents were set up to pay for that, and they paid for that.
Wow.
And then I stopped. So
you didn't have the whole student loan drama?
No. I wasn't.
I have friends 60, in their 40s who are still paying off their student loans.
You're $60,000 in debt, $100,000 in debt when you're 22 years old. How the hell are you supposed to pay that off? But, you know,
well, then you become, like, in a way, like an indentured servant to the nation.
Which brings us back to the giant capitalist machine that we're all being ground up inside of.
God, don't you feel like you're inside a meat grinder?
Yeah, I do.
I feel like they're thinning the herd for their capitalist gain. And they're coming up with new forms of... get people to kill themselves and give up on life.
I mean, that's
not bad.
That might happen. I feel like they're charging more for the internet, you know, like net neutrality. Didn't we lose that? And they're starting to be like, hey, you can pay a little bit more to get slightly faster. And I'm like, wait a minute. It creates an elitism around things that used to be public.
Oh, they're setting up their power structure on our internet grid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure it's already been set up for a long time, but we're just now becoming aware
noticing
of
it.
Yeah.
It's not good.
And the whole shadow tag thing.
The shadow banning?
Creeps me the fuck out, because there's no reason for it. What's the point
of
that?
It's the fucking Handmaid's Tale velocity. First, they just start banning women. Hashtag women.
Yeah, that really bothered us.
Or that episode where they're like, oh, women can't have their own bank accounts. Women.
Yeah, no, I had that put on my chest after Trump was elected.
Oh, you added the woman after Trump?
Yeah, actually, in fact... This entire chess piece used to be just the heart and the wings.
Yeah, I remember.
And the one little bee. That was it. Everything that you see here is a result of what's happened to our country on my chest for me.
It's so beautiful.
Thank you. It's a little fucking crazy looking, I think. But I'm proud of it. I'm happy to have it. Certain things are more personalized, but... there's a Viking compass on here. I just done my DNA test not long before Trump was elected, and I realized I was mostly Viking.
Wow.
And then I looked it up, and the whole point of the Viking compass was that it makes you feel safe, keeps you safe in dark waters. Mm-hmm. And the metaphor is that it protects you in troubled times. Mm-hmm. So I had, the very first thing I did was I had the safety pin. The safety pin of freedom. Yeah. And then I have it connected to that Viking compass. There's a Lilith symbol. This is Mary Magdalene over
Ouija,
here.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the symbol on the planchette,
the planchette
is Mary Magdalene's symbol.
Yeah.
That's Lilith. That's, she's a warrior goddess. So you can imagine, this is
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. It's, I like, we talked earlier about how we feel powerless. And sometimes tattoos help in that department. They do.
I have one big one. Gerald did it.
Yeah?
And it's...
I've seen his work. It's pretty impressive.
He's great. And I, when I got it, I was like, this is going to be the only...
Gerald from camp, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This is the only one I'm ever going to get.
It's really beautiful.
And now that I have it, I feel like I want more. I want it to go, like...
Of course you do.
Start here and go.
I see it totally becoming a full body...
Yeah, that's how I see it.
Yeah.
All the way down to my foot and, like, all the way up...
Yes.
To my wrist.
So you lift your arm and shit? Mm-hmm. That'd be sick. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be so good?
Of course.
But this is the base. But I only he can do it. I feel like I want it to be one artist.
I agree. I completely encourage that. My body right now is mostly one artist. And Gerald's friend, actually.
Oh, really?
Needles.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if he's mentioned. Needles did half of his back piece.
Half of Gerald's back?
Yeah, remember he was getting his back piece done by two artists that were sort of taking turns? Mm-hmm. Needles was one of them.
Got it.
Yeah.
And he does yours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, and folks, you can find Needles' artwork at monkeymojo.com. What's Gerald's name on the internet? How can people find his work?
You can find him on Instagram at Gerald Feliciano.
Okay. It's a sexy name.
Yeah. What?
I'm so bad. I just think, like, dare I say, like, in school, do you think it was, like, Gerald Feliciano?
Like, I don't, like, that's how they, I don't know if kids are that smart.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
Like, when I was a kid, Smelanie, that was an easy one for them.
That's your real name.
No, that was my name.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was your name. Yeah. Your given name. At
Once
a time.
Upon a time. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
did
an easy one.
Did anyone ever clock your name growing up?
My name wasn't. No, I mean, I was like brutally teased.
Right.
I think, but not
so
with
were
a nickname.
Teased into submission before high school.
Yeah.
And then high school, you're like. You had your stress ball in your hand, like Lisa from The Simpsons, and you're like, I'm just going to ride this shit out.
Yeah, so this is what
get
happened.
The fuck out
I
of
think
here.
Around fifth or sixth grade, we start to blossom. We start to find our true
assert
identities.
Yourselves.
And I was weird, and I wanted to wear glittery platform sneakers
yes,
to
honey.
School.
Yes.
And I started middle school, and immediately it was Anna's gay.
I was called that, too.
That's all they could think of back
then. All
they
could think of, yeah.
She's gay. She's totally gay. Don't hug her in the hallway. And I was just ostracized. And all of my friends since
Don't
kindergarten...
Hug her.
Yeah. All my friends since kindergarten went and hung out at somebody else's house, and they wrote, Anna is gay, at the top of a piece of paper, and everyone came over and
signed it. I had that done.
It was a petition.
They passed it around the class. Everyone signed it. I lucked out, though. The dude sitting right next to me, and it was assigned seating, and they made us sit in a big circle, so we all had to stare at each other. So everyone's passing this thing around. It gets to the dude right next to me. I'll never forget his name. Kit Smith. And he was the class clown. And I think this is when I fell in love with comedians, musicians, or magicians. They all tend to have the same sort of snarky Anthony Bourdain, smart-ass personality. And he was my hero. He took the fucking thing, read it out loud, and then just read those three mean bitches for filth for passing it around, and then shamed every... The teacher happened to leave
he
the room
did?
When it got... To, yes. I was
Aww.
Like... I remember trembling, seeing it, screaming, oh my God,
That's
oh my God.
This story.
And to this day, I want to know where he is. Like,
find him.
Where is that
Google
guy?
Google that.
Where
Google
is
that,
that
bitch.
Guy?
Find him.
Yeah, he read them for filth. Shame the fuck out.
Yeah,
of
nobody
him.
Did that for me. I was traumatized, so I suppressed myself for the next 4 years.
Baby.
Yeah. I wore the jeans and the things I'm supposed to wear, and I blew out my hair.
Oh no! No. But you had
I still did
at home,
theater.
I
yeah, my parents. parents were incredibly loving and supportive. I did have a loving home. I'm very lucky in that.
I think that's probably why you're such a stable, emotionally stable person.
My mom is a therapist.
Oh, forget it. Okay, yeah.
So I learned early how to, like, address my feelings, you know?
You almost look annoyed when you say it. I can imagine to a kid, you know, and they're being, yeah.
Yeah, like, let's talk about why we feel that way. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I could see how that would be damned annoying. Yeah. But in the long run, very beneficial.
Me, yeah, yes. Healthy communication techniques.
Yeah. And you're going to like it. Take those healthy communication techniques and you're going to like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, is there anything that you'd like to add before we close our time together?
Gosh, I don't think so.
Anything for them to look for?
Yeah, By Night is in the making. I'm
By Night, folks.
Yeah, it's coming. We'll see what happens.
Are you using Boo Bess as the?
No, I'm Anna Bridgeforth on that one. But
Anna Bridgeforth, folks.
That's my name, but I'm Banana Land on Instagram.
I love that.
And it's all about Instagram these days.
It's one of my favorite Instagram names.
Banana Land?
Yeah.
There are people who see me out in the world and they look at me and they're like, hey, Banana Land. And I'm like, that's my Instagram handle.
Yeah.
That's weird, but okay. Yeah. Hi. Yeah, got lucky on that one.
Yeah.
It's just because I'm Anna. I was always Anna Banana. Everyone called me Banana.
Oh, my God. Totally. Have you done a banana act or anything like that?
No.
Oh.
Not yet. Yeah. It feels like the market's sort of been cornered on that one already.
Folks, you can't see the look on my face. I'm looking away and she went, wait.
Like, oh, wait. That's right. No,
there's too many banana acts in New York right now.
Yeah, there's enough. There's enough.
Too many banana acts.
That's good.
Yeah. It could be banana pudding with some Nilla wafers.
I was thinking about that. I could do a Nilla wafers act. I did do a whipped cream act once, a cover pudding. Of Whip It, and I made whipped cream on stage like that.
Oh, that's hot. Like a shake weight.
I could do that with Nilla wafers.
Yes. I injured my wrist once trying to
make whipped cream.
Make meringue, but it was a similar motion.
Careful. Just be gentle with yourself.
Hand jobs have always been my least favorite, excuse me.
Least favorite
sexual activity.
It's hard on your arm.
I fucking hate giving an old fashioned.
An old fashioned.
And it shows in my wrist because I can't do meringue without hurting myself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's too much work.
No. But I did love what South Park did with the shake weight.
I didn't see it.
Oh. YouTube it. I'm sure it's out there.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah, thank
you.
For
being here. Let's clink cans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh.
That's good sound.
All right, folks. And for archive episodes of Fallen Woman, you can find it at fallenwoman.com. And stay tuned for a few juicy tunes.
Juicy tunes.
Juicy tunes.
Juicy tunes.
Wanna set the world on fire? That is my one mad desire. I'm a devil in disguise. Got murder in my eyes. Now I could see blood running through the streets. Now I could see blood running through the streets. Could be everybody laying dead right at my feet. Now in. Just look what a hole I'm in. Give me gunpowder, give me dynamite. Give me gunpowder, give me dynamite. Yeah, I'd wreck the city, wanna blow it up tonight. I took my Winchester down off the shelf. I took my Winchester down off the shelf. When I get through shooting, won't be nobody left.
Is sort of vila gra, a sort of vila gra, de vader o ganyari an la ba. Oro, 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 is sort of vila gra. Is sort of vila gra, a sort of vila gra, kushulig fluing your martin druch the lemma gra. Soro vila gra, a soro vila gra, o shuntra park a temple at a mogon of lemo gra. Oro, 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 soro vila gra.
Enna heri ea, enna heri ea, enna bismillahi, enna der rahimani, enna der rahimi, enna jafal mani.
Oro, 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 soro,
made of wisdom and their costume is light.
Like the demons are created.